ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। सर्ववेदांत सार शुकमुनि वाक्य श्रीमद् भागवत कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 79 टेक्स 34। यो अनुस्मरेत रामस्य कर्माणि अद्भुतकर्मण सायं प्रातर अनंतस्य विष्णो स दैतो भवेत्। यो अनुस्मरेत रामस्य कर्माणि अद्भुतकर्मण सायं प्रातरनन्तस्य विष्णो सोदैतो भवेत्। यो अनुस्मरेत रामस्य कर्माणि अद्भुतकर्मण सायं प्रातरनन्तस्य विष्णो सोदैतो भवेत्। यो अनुस्मरेत रामस्य कर्माण्य अद्भुतकर्मण सायं प्रातरनन्तस्य विष्णो सोदैतो भवेत्। Whoever anusmaret regularly remembers ramasya of Lord Balaram, karmani the activities, adbhuto amazing, karmanah all of whose activities, sayam at dusk, pratah at dawn, anantasya who is unlimited, Vishnuho the supreme lord, Vishnu sa he daita dear bhavet becomes. Translation: all the activities of the unlimited Lord Balaram are amazing. Anyone who regularly remembers them at dawn and dusk will become very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord Balaram is the original Vishnu. Therefore, anyone remembering these pastimes of Lord Balaram in the morning and evening will certainly become a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus his life will become successful in all respects. So in this passage of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukra Muni is describing activities of Lord Balaram. And he is giving the blessing that if you remember these activities which he described in Bhagavatam, by such remembrance will become dear to Lord Vishnu. The purpose of devotional service is to become dear to Krishna. All different activities described by Rupa Goswami as angas of bhakti. Prahlad Maharaj describes 9 Navavidha bhakti. Rupa Goswami expands into 64. Do's and don'ts. They are not some mechanical activities. It's not activities we just perform for sake of performing. But these activities are meant to bring forth the change in consciousness of a performer. Sometime we learn to do things mechanically. You know, as a becomes a part of your routine. And we tend to forget the purpose of performing those activities. And here, it kind of gives us a reminder, anusmarit. There has to be remembrance of Krishna. Rupa Goswami also says that, smartam satatam Vishnu vismartavyam na jatuchit. Sarve vidhinishya dosyur eta eva kinkara. All the 64 angas of bhakti, which he has described in detail in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says that's guided by this principle of remembrance. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu. Remember Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, always, satatam. And vismartavyam na jatuchit. And not to forget him, even for a second. Is the purpose, he says, sarva vidhi nishedo. He has given some vidhi. Vidhi means do's and don'ts. 32 do's, 32 don'ts. Eta eva kinkara. All those are subservient or follower of this particular purpose, this particular principle. So all our activities we perform in devotional service are to get our mind into the habit of thinking of Krishna. It's difficult. It is not easy to think of Krishna. Or think of anything constantly for a long time, unless we develop attachment for that thing. The attachment is there, then naturally thinking comes. And when the attachment is exclusively for that person, then it becomes a constant thinking. And such thinking produces wonderful results, even for the scientist or the great personalities who are thinking of a particular instance, a particular topic or particular subject. That constant thinking gives them sorts of deep understanding of that subject. Mananam. You can see even in the history, there are great you know, scientist like Einstein, you know, his constant thinking of unity of the universe, he was thinking. And he came up with something which is amazing, that how could, you know, you convert mass into energy. You know, it's some, everything is coming from one. Some other he had this tremendous insight that it must be coming from one. So the constant thinking came out with something completely different and, you know, transformed the whole way the people look at the world. Or even his theory of relativity, he's trying to understand the world. So like that, the constant thinking of a particular topic is always helps us, helps that person to understand it better, to understand depth of that person, to understand depth of that topic or subject. So therefore, when one starts to think of Krishna constantly in his mind, thinks about him, then naturally he understands Krishna better. He develops better attachment for him. He naturally feels attracted towards him. So therefore, the whole purpose of devotional service is to enforce or to get into the habit of thinking of Krishna. And therefore, when we practice our devotional service, when we chant our rounds or when we read Bhagavatam, there has to be, it should not mechanically go. There has to be a remembrance of Krishna coming in. Many times, you know, we tend to do mechanically. I remember one devotee, and you know, Rajahamsa Prabhu from BI. So we had those in 1986. There was synthesis of science and religion. So what we are learning from this synthesis, science, you know, we put science and religion together. This is Bhaktivedanta Institute's project. So Rajahamsa said, yes, we have learned to chant our rounds mechanically. This is our synthesis of science and religion. We learned to chant our rounds mechanically. So he was making a point that you know, we shouldn't forget the nice devotee. He's also PhD from, I think, IIT, Rasaraj. So, this purpose of our devotional service, because by that remembrance, slowly, our attachment for everything else will go away. Otherwise, it will not, because there are many things in devotional service which also come in our way. We may practice Krishna consciousness. Bho janma jadikar nama sankirtan tabutana pai Krishna pade premadhan. Because there are lot of obstacles which come in our devotional service as we perform. Some are gross, some are subtle. Gross obstacles are easy to see. Everybody can see it. But there are subtle obstacles which tend to take us away from remembrance of Krishna. Our activities of preaching or chanting or, you know, performing deity worship could at least may take us away from the goal of bhakti, goal of Krishna consciousness, unless we are very careful. Because while performing those devotional service, along with, you know, pleasure of Krishna, there are other things also in mind, which brings other results, byproducts. As there's a main product and there are byproducts. And those byproducts could come in your way. We may continue to perform our devotional service very nicely throughout life, but no much advancement will be made unless those byproducts are removed or discarded and one decides to tread further. Kaviraj Goswami very strongly recommends, strongly advises us while describing process of bhakti, that, you know, he compares bhakti to a creeper, bhakti lata. And he says that Guru Krishna Prasade by Bhakti Lata Beach, by mercy of Krishna and Guru. Of course, Lord Nityananda is also Adi Guru. Gauranga Prabhu wanted me to speak about it. Maybe we'll come to that a little later. which was because Anusmare, this is the word I'm trying to elaborate on. So he says that that bij, Bhakti Lata bij, the seed of devotional service, is by the mercy of devotees, mercy of Krishna, it comes. Actually, Vishwanatha Chaturvedi Thakur says that it comes by the mercy of Madhyamadhikari. Without Krishna Bhakti, Janma Mool Hoy Sadhu Sangha. Without association of devotees or mercy of devotee, one cannot get Bhakti Lata Beach, the seed of Bhakti. So then it is described whose mercy. You need a mercy of Mahabhagavat, perfected devotee, or any devotee. So this has been analyzed by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He describes that, he says the Mahabhagavat devotee, who is Uttama, he does not discriminate. Of course, he starts with arguing that it cannot be Krishna's mercy alone. Since Krishna's mercy alone is the cause of bhakti, if we consider, then Krishna will be open to charge of being biased. That is giving somebody bhakti and somebody is not giving. Because, and Krishna says that he is samam sarva bhuteshu. Nobody is dear to me, nobody I hate. I am equal to everybody. So if he chooses to give somebody bhakti and not to somebody else, then there is a bias. And Krishna states very clearly that he is not biased, he is equal. Samam sarva bhuteshu. Therefore he takes that it's not possible that Krishna's mercy directly could be cause of bhakti. Then he goes on to analyze that Mahabhagavat, his mercy could be the only cause of bhakti. He says no, it's not possible, because he also does not discriminate. He sees everybody equally. Stavar jangam na dekhe dekhe dharm udhi sarvatra hoy tar ishta deva spurti. What is that verse from 11th canto? Nimi and Nava Yogendraj, it describes about Uttam Bhagavat. Remembers, anybody remembers the verse? It's not coming to my head. Nimi and Maharaj, Nimi and Nava Yogendraj, they describe Ishvarshu Taddineshu, Bhajvishasucha, Kanishta, then Madhyama, then Uttam. What is the Uttam? Anybody remembers the verse? Sarva Bhutani Apashyet Bhagavat Bhavatmana. What is it? Bhutani Bhagavati Atmani Esho Bhagavatama. Sarva Bhutani Apashyet Bhagavat Bhavatmana. Very good, Prabhu. Very nice. Thank you. Sarva Bhutani Apashyet Bhagavat Bhavatmana. Who pursues Lord in everybody's heart, everywhere. Bhutani Bhagavati Atmani. And he pursues everybody in Krishna. Esha Bhagavatattama, he is Uttam Bhagavat. Bhagavatam describes. So therefore, even such person of that consciousness, he will not discriminate. For him there is no discriminate devotee and non-devotee, pious, impious. For him, he only sees Krishna everywhere. So therefore, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that for such devotee, there is no discrimination. He doesn't discriminate, so there is no question of his giving mercy to somebody, not giving to somebody else. There has to be discrimination in order to give and not give. So therefore he says, then he goes to Madhyam Bhagavat. What is the definition? Prema Maitri Krupa Apeksha Ya Karoti So Madhyama. What is it? Vishwarishu Taddhineshu Balisheshu Dvishasucha Prema Maitri Krupa Apeksha Ya Karoti So Madhyama. Vishwarishu Taddhineshu. So he has love for Krishna, Ishvareshu, Prem, Taddhineshu, the devotees, he has got Maitri, friendship with devotees, Balisheshu, for innocent people, he has got mercy, Krupa. So he says, this mercy of Madhyamadhikari, Vishwanatha Thakur says, is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, is the cause of somebody getting chance to perform devotional service. Yes, Bhakti Lata Beej. But then, of course, Sadhu Sangha, it starts with that. And one gets Sasanga Prapate Pumbhi, Sukrute Purva Sanchite. One gets such association by his Bhaktyanamukhi Sukruti from his previous life. Anyway, come to the point, as one gets devotional beej, Bhakti Lata Beej, the seed of devotional service, one has to water it by performing these 64 Angas of Bhakti. And in that, Taramadya Sarvasreshtha Nama Sankirtan, among all that, chanting Krishna's name, Kaviraj Goswami says, is supreme, topmost. And there are five, he says five topmost, and one of them is, among them topmost is Nam Sankirtan. So by Shravan Kirtan and different process of bhakti, one waters that beej. And from that beej comes the creeper. And as the creeper comes, along with that creeper comes agacha or weeds. So he describes different kinds of it. Nishidachar, Kutinati, Jivarahimsan, Pujala, Pratishthadi, Jato, Upashakagan. Nishiddachar, you know, sometime doing forbidden activities from scripture. Scripture forbidden sometimes activities, telling lies, you know, doing irreligious acts, all Nishiddachar. Kutinati, acting in the not straightforward way. Kutinati. Jivarahimsan, having envious nature about others. And then Pujala Pratishtha, Puja, desire to be worshipped. Lab, desire to gain prestige or other kinds of gains. Pratishtha, to be honored. These are all upashakagan. These are all, along with the creeper of bhakti, this also come. And he says that one can keep on pouring water in the creeper, at the root of the creeper, bhakti creeper, by constantly chanting, hearing, doing activities of bhakti. But these creepers will take that water, just like when you have weeds around the creeper, amount of water you put, the fertilizers you put, instead of the main creeper getting it, all these weeds will get it. And weeds, creeper will become weak, dry, and only these weeds will grow. They will absorb all this water and fertilizer. Similarly, he says that sabdo hoya mula shakha badite na paaye, seche jala paaya upashakha badi jaye, sabdo hoya mula shakha badite na paaye. That the chanting, hearing and performance of devotional services, which is like pouring water in the Bhakti Lata, that water will be absorbed, that fertilizer will be absorbed by these upashakas, these weeds. And mul shakha, the creeper of bhakti, will not grow. Although one may externally perform everything correctly, but his mind will be absorbed in these upashakas, these other desires which are grown in the heart. And they will look same as bhakti. They will come as something which is connected to bhakti, something which is resembling bhakti. But as one deeply introspects, he'll find that they are actually taking us away from Krishna. And among them, he says, the subtle ones, Nishidachar, acting, you know, improperly, is easy to see, anybody can see. But this upashaka of Pujala Pratishtha is very difficult to give up. It comes as a part of bhakti. Many times it happens in the temples, that as a preacher, one starts to preach, and he gets some followers, and he gets respect, honor from his followers. They start to think that you are a great preacher, we are a great preacher, person who is preaching, person is a great preacher, he is a great devotee, he is so absorbed, he is doing his sadhana so perfectly. So innocent people, they start ascribing to that person all the great qualities which they read in Bhagavatam, thinking he is Mahabhagavat. I don't know, it happened to you or not, it happened to me many times. People come and start saying, you are Mahabhagavat, you know Shastra so well, this, that. So many glories come. You may not have a title of a guru, but you know, you become the guru for that person. If you have a title, then this is more, you have to be more careful. But without title also it happens. And those praises, those glories become very, very, very pleasing to the heart, pleasing to the mind. Your heart longs to hear such glories. You want people to, although you may not say it externally, you may not express it. Foolish people may express. They're not, intelligent people won't express, because by expressing you lose it. By not expressing you get more. Na mange moti mile, mange mile na bhik. He said, Kabir. You know, so if you know how to get it without asking for it, then that's real smart. So you may not express it. You may not openly, grossly speak it, but you will leave enough indications by your acts or by your behavior, which will make others understand. And all, anyway, these people who are simply coming and following you would probably start to, they always think, sincerely they believe probably, many of them, I think so. They want to give it, and such indications are, you know, more than enough. And then when such things don't happen to you, or for some reason happens to somebody else more than you, then there's a pain in the heart. Because your hearing and chanting, instead of bringing you remembrance of Krishna, brings forth the remembrance of these upashakas, these unwanted weeds. We had experience in sometime in a temple that devotee preaches and he gets a group of devotees who are looking up to him, and he's preaching to them. And if somebody else preaches to that person for some reason or says something, then he gets a lot of pain. That how, you know, my man has been preached to by somebody else. And you know, he gets upset with the other person, other preacher who happens to instruct that person. Proprietary feeling comes over your followers. And then you find a lot of justification also. No, he'll get confused. If somebody else preaches to him, he'll get confused. He may not, he may not steadily practice Krishna consciousness. You find a lot of rationalization for such, you know, displeasure exhibited by you. But actually, the ground reality is that the attachment has been developed for that honor, that respect, for that what has come as a byproduct of your preaching. The product of our preaching is to bring people to Krishna. Let them remember Krishna, and that's our happiness. It cannot be that they have to go to Krishna through me only. Jesus is the only way. I am the only way, you know. It should not be like that. You know, our goal is to bring them to Krishna, and their service to Krishna is a pleasure for us to see. It doesn't have to happen through us, because ultimately we are doing it not to get followers or not to bring, do anything, but to please Krishna. Daito bhavet. Vishnu sa daito bhavet. To become dear to Krishna. And one becomes dear to Krishna by bringing people to Krishna, by making them his devotees. And to serve Krishna. That's happiness. Whether it happens through me or happens to somebody else, it's not an issue. But this byproduct which comes in terms of pujala pratishtha, honor, respect, it becomes, it's so captivating, so engrossing, so sweet, so pleasing. You can't compare with any gross pleasures with it. The pleasure of eating nice food or, you know, having nice materialistic life is, you know, is of not much value. That honor, that respect one wants. Somebody told me a story I heard in Vrindavan many years back about one sadhu who was very renounced. He was Nengta Baba, you know, naked Baba, naked sadhu. He renounced everything in the world. And he was living on, you know, outside the village he was staying. And he would stay in his kutir and do his bhajan very nicely. And he would not, you know, go and see anybody's face. He would just be, you know, absorbed in his own bhajan. And the villagers, you know, generally they are pious Hindus, would bring some food for him, keep it outside his kuti. And he would eat, but he would not see anybody. So then, but once in a year, the whole village would come to his kutir and they glorify him and, you know, appreciate and say, yes, we are very fortunate. The sadhu, they are really fortunate to have sadhu staying next to their village. And they are so, you know, blessed. And that was his day, that he was, you know, he got all his glories. That was a natural, you know, that was a normal course of events happening in that village and the life of the sadhu. So, one particular year, that day came and sadhu, you know, got ready. That everybody is going to come to see him and that's his day. Something went wrong and, you know, he didn't hear. They would come with some kirtan, some, you know, some party like that. But he's not hearing any noise. You know. What happened? Why, you know, they forgot or maybe something went wrong in the village. You know, he's getting his anxiety. Why they're not coming, you know. So then he thought maybe something, so he became very anxious. Then he started, there was a tree next to his kutir, so he started climbing the tree. So he could see from distance whether he could see somebody's coming or not. He couldn't see anybody, you know. So he kept on climbing up, hoping to see somebody, but nobody was, he couldn't see anybody. All in a top event, and that was very, you know, fragile, komal shaka. So it broke, he fell on the ground and died. So the point was that sadhus, you know, he was practicing and he was, you know, there was no gross violations, but, you know, instead of his mind being absorbed, unfortunately, in thoughts of Krishna, it was absorbed in getting that glory, once a year glory, that it affected him so much that he wanted that. So the purpose of his bhajan was lost. You know, it's so Vishnosa Daito Bhavet. As this shloka says, one has to become dear to Krishna. And one becomes dear to Krishna only when all these things are given up. Tabe mali, I forgot, hoya kare upachaka chedan, tabe mula shaka vadi jai vrindavan. Kaviraj Goswami says, when the devotee, mali means a devotee, the sadhaka, the performer of devotional service, becomes very, 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 very vigilant, very careful, and removes this upashaka, removes these weeds from his heart, pujala pratishta. Then only, he says, the mula shaka, the kripura bhakti will grow and reach the lotus feet of Krishna. Otherwise, it will not grow. And among them, the biggest snare is this guru bhav. Desire to be guru or desire to be, it may not, that having a title, you know, guru is one thing, but desire to be guru. That's one of the biggest problems we have seen. Yes, he is Adi Guru, our Balaram or Nityananda. And Kaviraj Goswami says, adyapi amara guru chaitanya das tathapi ami dekhi taharo prakash. So although my guru is devotee or servant of Lord Chaitanya, I will see him
as his manifestation. That's the Siddhanta. By word Guru, I don't mean only a Diksha Guru. I mean a person who takes, you know, or to whom somebody looks up to surrender his life to, or accept that through him Krishna instructs you. That's the, that the person. Tathapi ami jani tahara prakash. Actually, person, Krishna gives his mercy through a devotee, and that devotee is the guru, considered to be guru. So the person who takes shelter of such a person, he believes that Krishna instructs me through this person. And therefore, that devotee, that person, surrenders to you, surrenders to that person. Like for example, if you are a preacher, you are instructing many people. Whether you give diksha or not, that's a secondary issue. Diksha is only one aspect, not even the main aspect of bhakti. The top five angas of bhakti, Rupa Goswami does not mention diksha. He talks about chanting Krishna's name, worshipping deity, reading Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, and staying in Holy Dham. They are the five mukhya angas. Here is a person who looks up to you, that believes that through you the instruction of Krishna comes. So you have taken the position of a guru for him. And if you also believe or tend to think like that, you have taken the position of a guru. Whether you have official title or not. Official title is more dangerous. Because official title means people read in Bhagavatam, like Gaurang was saying, out about guru, Prabhupada says. And then they impose those qualities on that person. The moment somebody is declared as a guru. But even if you don't declare, if you are a preacher, then person looks up to you. And then that guru bhava, if it is properly utilized, honestly handled, truthfully handled, saying the person, what is your real position, then it is okay. But if you directly or indirectly tend to increase that illusion in that person, to think that through you the instruction of Krishna comes to him, then we are treading a very dangerous path. Because they have come to us to serve Krishna. And our duty as a preacher is to direct them to service of Krishna. And not to mislead them. Not to misguide them. So truthfulness has to be there. Recently I had some discussion with I had discussion with some devotees from Bangalore. We are having some mediation. So they came to see me in Coimbatore. So I was talking to them, and they were expressing different things they did. So I was pointing out that what you have done is wrong. It's a fraud. It's an act of appropriation. So then initially they are denying it, but after some time they are forced to admit, because it's a very clear documentary evidence. So then the argument was there that we wanted to protect our service to Prabhupada and Krishna. And therefore, we did this. We had no personal interest. We had no personal anything to gain out of it. But we did it because we wanted to protect our service to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And maybe they're thinking like that. I don't know what is in their heart, actually. Maybe they're thinking. But I thought it's very dangerous. Path to tread. Then I was discussing, I was telling them, look, we should not think that we are God's gift to this world. We are God's gift, so anything we can do, and that's for Krishna's pleasure. It's very dangerous. We may think like that, but it's a very dangerous situation. How do you know? Somebody can order somebody's murder. It happened also in ISKCON's history. Somebody ordered. And it's in Krishna's service of Krishna and Prabhupada. It is very dangerous when you take such a situation, such position, that through us Krishna's instructions come, or through me, or I do it for Krishna's service, and disregard the other issues. this, taking this position of Krishna's instruction or desire manifesting through us, it's a very, very dangerous position. And I felt that they were believing it. I know, sincerely or not, I can't say that we did everything for this purpose. So looking back, you know, in my own spiritual life, I was thinking, yes, many times in our preaching, you know, people come and they give that kind of respect or that kind of position. You know, treat you like a guru or a person who is through whom the instructions of Krishna come. And that becomes so pleasing, so nice, so palatable for us that we tend to forget the reality. We don't want to remember the reality. And all our devotional service, you know, gives us a meditation of how to expand, do it or achieve and expand it. And remembrance of Krishna and His pleasure takes the second seat or back seat. Because ultimately, bhakti is not an external act. Definition of bhakti, Rupa Goswami, is very clear. It must be done for Krishna's pleasure. It must bring forth His pleasure. By engaging our activities, our senses in Krishna's pleasure. And without any desire, anya bhala chita shunyam, there has to be absence of anything else in the heart. Any other desire. If other desire there, then that is not uttam bhakti, that becomes mishra bhakti. That becomes a weak devotional service. It's bhakti, no doubt. But somewhere there's pleasure, desire to please Krishna is there. But since other desires are overwhelming or, you know, or becoming stronger, then it becomes mishra bhakti or vikar bhakti. Such bhakti cannot give us Krishna. So therefore, we have to keep that focus very well in our mind that this Vishnu sa daito bhavet. Remembrance of Krishna in our devotional service and our conscious efforts to become dear to Krishna. And to become dear to Krishna means we have to forsake everything else, every other desire. To be respected, honored, glorified, obtaining the position of, as I said, Guru Bhav, has to be removed from our heart with a constant conscious effort. If that is done, then most of the problems will not be there. And Krishna's remembrance, as Krishna says, you know, Arjuna, it's very difficult to remember you. He said two things. What is that? Vairagyena cha gruhyate. What is that? Abhyasena tu kaunteya, vairagyena cha gruhyate. Constant practice and detachment, vairagya, removal. So removal of all these things from the heart is, practice is one thing, and removal of all these things from the heart, that is vairagya. Two way we can enforce in our mind, in our consciousness, Krishna's remembrance. And by such remembrance, as this Bhagavatam says, Vishnu sa daito bhavet, will become dear to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If anybody has any question or comment, yes.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you were mentioning very nicely about how when you are trying to preach, you know, people give you respect and they treat you like a guru. So sometimes when you are preaching and when people tend to do like this with you, internally, how should we see it? Or how? What can we do? How should we see as a sadhaka?
You have to see it is actually they are respecting Krishna or Prabhupada, whom we are representing. See, when we go out and preach, you know, we are representing Prabhupada. This ISKCON is like Prabhupada. Olden days, gurus used to have their ashrams. You know, and the guru will preach and teach his disciples, and those disciples will go out and make their own ashrams and become gurus in their own ashram. This was the system, olden days. And that's how traditionally, you know, the sadhus have preached. Prabhupada set up a particular system where he natural, normal sense of, you know, traditional sense, Prabhupada should have preached. His disciples should have gone and started their own ashrams and preached. That would have been normal sense. But here, Prabhupada established ISKCON, which was his ashram, as an entity which will remain for next 10,000 years. And everybody, no matter whose Diksha or Shiksha disciple he may be, he will be preaching on behalf of Prabhupada and ISKCON. So when you go out and preach, you are preaching on behalf, you are representing Prabhupada. So when that respect they are giving is actually to, first of all, to Krishna and Mahaprabhu, and also to Prabhupada, whom you represent. So you understand, this is not respect which is, you know, I don't deserve it, nor do I, actually is not giving me. But I'm representing him, therefore it is coming to me. And Prabhupada said that they are all coming to me, those devotees, they are my mercy of my Guru. I simply represent him. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He thought like that. It's very difficult. It's very difficult when the honor and respect is given. But one has to be take it in that spirit. And sometimes people, sometimes some foolish people, you know, they over glorify or, you know, do more than, you know, required. Now, showing some respect is natural, but start telling you are a Mahabhagavat, you are this, you are that, and if I sit on, if I touch your cloth, you know, I'll remember Krishna, you know, all kinds of things. I don't know if it happened to you, preacher, it happens. They will tell such a person, no, it's not true, you know. I'm struggling also in my path, I'm chanting, you know. If you are thinking of Krishna, you can be truthful. Then you can say, yes, I think. But if you don't, then say, no, I also struggle, I'm trying to remember Krishna. I am also sadhaka like you. I can help you, assist you, whatever I know of. Not that. So if you are truthful, then it will help you and help him also. It will shatter his illusions about you. And he will not put you in illusion also. So it helps both ways. To be truthful, yes, this is how it is. And this is how, and by chanting, we will go. So being truthful is the best situation. Sometimes we tend to keep quiet, so that illusion continues in his mind. That is where the problem is. So that the person thinks, yes. Or sometimes the way we say, that he thinks that he is so humble. He is so advanced, but he is so humble that he is not, accepting what is rightfully his, you know. Sometimes, you know, see, your mind is there, you know, and you know in your heart what you are doing. Very difficult for somebody else to see. Only Krishna knows, and you know. For third person, it's very difficult to say, you know. Two days back, I was giving class in Juhu Chowpatty. About Jada Bharat story was there. So Prabhupada translated that, although Jada Bharat doesn't exactly say that. So Prabhupada translates. He's telling Raghugand, Jada Bharat is saying that, you know, I am self-realized person. So one devotee said, he took exception to this. How can he say that? You know, he's supposed to be humble, you know. So, you know, somebody was taking exception. How could, you know, he could say such a thing? So I told him, he was truthful. He was self-realized. He said, if I say, maybe it is not proper. But somebody who is self-realized, he says so, you know, I don't see. You know, of course, Rupa Goswami says, Tushtope amanitam katita manashunyata. Manashunyata, humility means declining the qualities which one has. But the point is that if somebody has that kind of remembrance and he says so, that's fine. But, and heart of our heart, we know that, you know, we don't constantly think of Krishna. There's no anusmruti in our heart. Nor we have that kind of detachment, you know, which these people are thinking we have. So we should be truthful and communicate and not let him, not by keeping quiet or sometime, you know, tend him to think, make him indirectly think about us, about me, what I am not. It has to be a sincere, you know, introspective effort. You know, bhakti also needs introspection. You have to think. As you look back in your spiritual life, your activities you have done in a day or a week, the past week or past month or past year, why you did those acts? Why you did this particular thing? Was that act for pleasure of Krishna, or you have something else in your mind. But when you act, sometimes you know your mind forces you to act impulsively, without even analyzing it, because your attachments are there. See, you act by your consciousness. Something happens, situation comes around you, and you act in a particular way as a reaction to that, and that is guided by your consciousness. Sometimes you really don't clearly think why you are doing it. At that instance, you know, you are in that particular situation. But then, as you go back, you start to think. Simhavalokan, you know, like they say, lion goes and then he looks back, like that. You look back and see, you know, in your own life, why you did particular act. What was wrong there? Was it really for Krishna's pleasure? Or was there any other motivation? Your own honor, your own respect, or even sometimes gross desires, exploitation of a person who came to you. Why you did this? What was the cause? That's what one has to introspect. The more you introspect, the more you look back, the more you can see the future, how you react. So said Winston Churchill. More you look back, he says, more you can see further. Further you look back, further forward you can see. Said Churchill. No, of course, he was talking about historical situation of England, that the mistakes they made, his previous prime ministers in supporting, or not supporting, but not stopping Hitler in his tracks, and then allowing him to grow, and it became a big appeasement policy of Chamberlain. And what point I'm trying to make, as you look back, you can see why you acted, why you did particular thing, why you said particular thing. Why you did particular thing. And you know, you know, your heart knows why you did it. What was the guiding force behind it. And if you've done something wrong, then you try to rectify it. Either by, you know, making amends for an act, or not to act in the future like that. That's the one way of doing it. Second way is to reveal your heart to somebody whom you have faith. Somebody, snigdho, what is that shloka? Sadhu Sangha Satam Varet Snigda Sajatiya Ashe Snigda Sajatiya Ashe Snigda. Thank you. Somebody of your nature, your mind. No? Not like every devotee. Maybe they are great devotees, but they may not think alike, or may not of your nature. Here you can see Krishna and Balaram, they are disagreeing. Krishna is supporting Bhima, Balaram is supporting Duryodhana. You know, and that's fantastic. I mean, that's, sometimes people say, what is this? No, it's not, it's Krishna, you know, it's a conscious beings who are relating to it. So Sajatiya Ashay, you know, somebody of your nature, and Snigdha, who is, you know, favorably and lovingly disposed towards you, in whom you have faith, you can reveal your heart to him. And he can help you to see and rectify. Or you can make prayers to Krishna. Yeah, you want to say something? Sorry.
Prabhuji, you were mentioning that one of the things, you can be honest to that person and tell him you are full of anarthas and whatever. Sometimes new people you are preaching to, they may be just 2-3 months old, and they really look forward to you. Like, to them also we can be honest, so we'll have to have a little different way of dealing when they honor you. I mean, like, you know, they are just looking forward to you, and they treat you as almost like, you know.
No, as a preacher of Bhagavatam, people will respect you. That's not Hari Bol, Hari Krishna. But they start assigning you a position which is not yours, then the problem. To be honest, yes, you chant 16 rounds, you stay in a temple, you practice, no, you have 20, 30, 40 years, you have practice. That's fine, that's honest statement, nothing wrong with that. But they start thinking that, you know, you're only absorbed in Krishna, you have no material desires, you know, by touching your body, you know, they make, you know, all kinds of, you know, I don't know, you must experience also varieties of such kind of things happening to you. Then you say, no, Prabhu. No, yes, I chant my rounds, I practice, I read Bhagavatam, I try to pray. But it's not that I have, you know, or Krishna, you know, speaks through you. Like that, people think. And sometimes some preachers also, you know, enforce or compound that illusion by saying that, you know, he had a dream, you know, and something happened. I have preachers like that telling. Sometimes presidents also get dream. They want to achieve something, their followers, and Krishna come in their dream and tell them to do something. And then they say, see, Krishna came in my dream and wanted something like this to happen. No, if you want something to happen, you can say, yes, I think this is the right thing to do. You know, this is how I see it. These are logical reasons. And that's why I think we should do it. Not make a story, you know, not make some false situation to make that person do what you want him to do. No, that's, this is where the point is. Truthfulness, sincerity. I think I adequately responded. Yes. You have any question? How long we can go?
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Regarding this aspect of being straightforward and humble about one's position to others, we see in Indian tradition that the renunciation is respected more than the knowledge aspect. Like, even if a person is less knowledgeable, but if he's a sannyasi, and if a grihastha is more knowledgeable, but he sits below and hears, you know, like Mahaprabhu did for, Sarva Bhattacharya did for Mahaprabhu and so on. So, sometime in the spiritual community, in the social communities, the ashram aspect, you know, forces you to be, or it is seen higher aspect than the, you know, knowledge aspect or devotional aspect also many times. So, we are talking about guarding oneself against the illusion of thinking oneself great. So, such situation comes, you know, that being in the ashram. So, what are the practical way one can protect oneself from that kind of situation?
I think it is natural. People should respect renounced people. You know, I think nothing wrong with that. Definitely somebody has renounced a sex life. He should be respected. And you know, the brahmachari or sannyasi. And if somebody respects because of that, nothing wrong with that. I don't see, you know, it's a truthful situation. Somebody has renounced and is staying in the ashram. He has no personal wealth or anything. He has renounced that and is serving. And such a person is respected for that. I don't see any... See, we shouldn't go to the other side of, you know, being denouncing the system of varnashram set up by Krishna. The point is that one should not get carried away with it. Yes, so somebody says, okay, you think grihastha life means he will have lording tendency? You know, he lord over his wife and children, servants, who it is, or people who work under him. It's the same tendency. See, it's a human tendency. And just because somebody renounced, the Guru Bhava will come more, it's not true. It will come for also the married man also. So it's not a question of what color of cloth you wear or what ashram you have. It's a question of how you develop your consciousness. We renounce this world and become a sannyasi, not that so that we can get Mahaprasad, you know, without being asked for it, or we get respect from people, but we do it because we want to love Krishna more. Purpose of renunciation is not, in itself it has no value, you know, as a Vaishnavas. In Gaudiya Vaishnavism, no, renunciation is not value. As Rupa and Sanatana did not take saffron cloth. They didn't accept sannyas order. They became like Babaji's. They renounce, they didn't want to honor of renounce order. But sannyasi means people respect. So they became Babaji's. So this is a human psychology. And they started wearing those white cloth. Like Babaji is like a beggar who would beg from few houses and nobody respect them. They didn't want people to respect them. Then take a sannyas. But now become a Babaji has become a big respectable thing, you know. You get so much honor now. You know, renunciation was such that people who renounce the world, that they didn't want to be in the society. It's like a civil death. Strict sannyasi tradition, sannyasi would, you know, cut his shika and perform shraddha for his family. Take sannyasi, it's finished. The idea was that his mind will completely only be absorbed, you know, in Supreme, whether you're, you know, he's a Shankara follower or whatever, he has gone. And such people would not live, you know, in the cities. Mostly they stay, you know, Nimalana Nasa Danda Prarasha Manishunaya Sasam Prahara, you know, is the Bhagavatam verse is there. That, you know, he said just like you know, he says Kshatriya is happy fighting a war, you know, in the war, you know, he's shooting his opponents. Opponents' arrows may hit his chest and he may get pain. But he takes more pleasure in that war than to sleep in the, you know, soft bed of his palace. That's Kshatriya, he likes to fight. Similarly, Himalayas, the Danda Prarasha, for a renounced person, staying in the Himalaya is considered to be Himalaya or places of seclusion, where there is no guarantee of food, there is no, you know, proper comfort for the body, place to stay. It is more pleasurable than to stay in a village or a city. Because city and village, people, all gurus will come, they respect sadhu, they give him. The idea was that he renounced everything. So such person, you know, once in a blue moon or comes there, everybody takes, by respecting him, they make an advancement. But sometimes people take sannyas to get that respect and honor. That's the problem. Because for sannyas carries a lot of, you know, respect. One sannyasi was, I was telling other story, one sannyasi, Nityananda, one famous, I don't know if you know, in Bangalore is very famous, he had big, big holdings he had. And this fellow, you know, was going around teaching celibacy, giving lectures on Patanjali yoga, this yoga, that yoga. All big guys are coming to his place. So some, I think they had some fight, you know, internal some problem with some disciples, I don't know what happened. Somebody put camera in his bedroom. And they caught him on camera having a relationship with one Tamil actress. And they put it in a television, you know, it didn't happen here, mostly in Karnataka and Tamil Nadu, a year back. Every time they're putting in, you know, newspaper, big uproar. Actually, in terms of law, he did not do anything wrong, you know, in terms of law, because it's a consenting act of two adults. So they can't, but then put a lot of pressure, so government was forced to arrest him. He was hiding somewhere, they arrested him. So he's you know, so the argument put forward by opponents is that he's a sannyasi, he's supposed to be, you know, renounced person, and he has created a morally wrongful, he has acted, and, you know, he has hurt the sentiments, religious sentiment, that's a criminal act of people by, you know, claiming to be a sannyasi, saying that he's a sannyasi, and indulge in such relationship with a woman, which is taboo for sannyasi. So he has hurt the feelings of people, religious feeling of the people. That's a criminal act. So he was not hauled for having relationship with her. That they can't catch, because that's not in our Indian penal code. There is no such a punishment. But there is a punishment for... So his argument was that, what can I do? People call me sannyasi. So, you know, he point was that he kept the illusion, you know, going. He didn't say, I'm not a sannyasi, don't respect me like that. He didn't say. He kept that illusion. The fellow was having a relationship with a woman and going, you know, people calling sannyasi, worshipping, and, you know, he was doing that. So it's a hypocrisy. And actually, the court accepted the argument and released him on bail. Because, you know, what wrong I did? He said, I did no wrong. I didn't claim to be sannyasi. People, and then he said, why you were teaching all this? Oh, professors also teach so many things. Professors teach. You know, if you go to, and I am also teaching. You know, his lawyer was arguing, he had a brilliant lawyer, you know, who argued. And court had to release him on a bail, and, you know, government arguments did not go. The point was that he was a hypocrite. He was, okay, I don't know whether he said his sannyasi or not, I am not sure. But he made people believe what was not true, and misled them. Unfortunately, that argument was not, you know, pushed by the government side, the government advocate. So, the point is that word, yes, that word sannyasi or word brahmachari has some respect. So once one accepts that particular position and takes that title, just like a word guru has got sort of respect, like he was telling me, whatever you may say, GBC this, that, Gauranga Prabhu was saying. But Prabhupada books talk about guru, guru, guru. There's some problem with guru and authority, temple authority and guru, parallel lines of authority. I'm not very familiar, but he's very familiar with it. So that's a fact, it is mentioned. So when you accept the position of a guru, then you have to be very careful. You must act at least within that norm. That's first aspect. Second aspect is that, so if you are brahmachari, you must act like a brahmachari. That honor of the cloth must be maintained, respect of the cloth must be maintained. Not for the in public, but in also private.
There should not be hypocrisy. Like Nityananda, private something, public something. No. No hypocrisy. Hypocrisy will not take us anywhere. Forget about bhakti, it will not take us forward even in dharma. So there's no hypocrisy. We can't have hypocrisy. And but doesn't mean just because you were saffron, you know, you have become Mahabhagavat. No. Yeah, the brahmachari ashram will help us grow spiritually. So yes, you can say, yes, I am brahmachari and I have no relationship with a woman for my life and I am doing this service, fine. And people respect you for nothing wrong with that. That's honest respect which they should give you to you. That's what the scriptures say. We must do that. The etiquette must be maintained and followed. But there has to be balance. No, that respect should not be exploited or misused or misdirected. That conscience must be there in our heart. I think I addressed. I'm done. Okay. You have a question? Yes. How long is 9:50? Okay.
You were saying about how a brahmachari should remain like a brahmachari, honest and sincere. Now, in an institutional framework, people expect a brahmachari to be a brahmachari, sadhu, be humble. At the same time, you are expected to, you may have control over resources, people, and you may also have to kind of perform, you'll be called for a satsang program and the one who's organizing may tell you, Prabhu, you have to, make all of them, chant and, there may be pressure on you, either you yourself created it or others impose it on you. You have to perform and then you are caught in a loop. So, how to remain a sadhu and also at the same time, kind of perform and do things for Srila Prabhupada's mission and not get entangled and affected by the modes. So.
Yeah, it's very nice question. People want you to perform. Sometimes you get tired of that, isn't it? You want to live as you are. Yeah, there are expectations from, temple leadership. Yeah, it's a situation where you are forced to act in a way which you may not, sometime your conscience may not permit or may not want to act. I have gone through, so I can sympathize with you. I try to tell people who expect, that's what I tried. This is how I am and this is what, is my situation. I preach to the best of my ability. And it may not come to the expectation of, my hosts. What can I do? You find somebody else. See, ultimately, we have to be true to ourselves. You are not joined or come here to entertain people. We may do it as a part of our service, hoping that by that they will become Krishna conscious, bring them to Prabhupada. But there has to be somewhere a limit. We can't just live with expectation and push. But sometimes it's also the other way around, Such push and such pushing and such expectations may force you to be more Krishna conscious also. So it has got its other side. It's very difficult to say one way or the other. Because if you are staying in association of devotees and performing in a temple, yes, it brings you certain resources under your control. If they were not there, maybe you could be more humble. But not necessarily. This thing, Bengar Athanni, in Bengali, the frog has got 50 naya paisa and he's very proud of that. Bengar Athanni, Beng means frog. He got 50 paisa and he thinks, he's very powerful and rich. So it's not a question of what resources you have, what consciousness with consciousness you handle it. And the problem comes that if you think that by not having it, you will do better, it's also an illusion. It may not happen.
Like sometime it's not easy to sit down and simply be absorbed in Krishna. Not possible. And somebody does it, it's great. I think it's glorious. Sometime, you know, we had a devotee in Mayapur. He wanted to chant 64 rounds and more and not do service, other services. So they got very upset with him, temple authorities. So I told him, he's a good, great asset. You know, somebody could just be absorbed in chanting if he can really do it. No, then it's an asset to temple. It's just by that it will become so purifying and powerful. It's not easy to, you know, you have to be in the mode of goodness, Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma. Otherwise it's not easy. Yesterday I was giving an example in Vada. Prabhupada's godbrother, this Maharaj, Keshav Maharaj, from whom Prabhupada took sannyas, and is a guru of famous Narayan Maharaj. So he was from a landlord family. You know, and when he joined Gaudiya Math, you know, they had, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj had a lot of properties. So he used to go on a horse, you know, those days, in 1920s and 30s, and look after all the properties. He would even, I heard that he used to even tie up some, you know, Muslims or some Badmash people and tie them to the tree. You know, a very powerful man used to go like that. This is sannyasi. So, he had to, property means fights, right? You know, there are properties. There are fights. If there are no properties, no fights. Generally. Property, money brings fights, you know, disagreements. So, he had to go to courts, you know, police, all these problems would be there. So he told his Guru Maharaj that there's one other devotee was there. So he's simply, you know, chanting, you know, doing no service, no headache, and I have to do all this trouble, you know, fight, go here, there, so many things. This is not fair. This is not, you know, not correct. So apparently Bhujan said, oh, you want to be like him? He said, yes, why not? He said, okay, to be like him. This room you sit and you, whole day you chant. You know, you don't need to come for prasad also. My servant will bring prasadam to you. Just sit and chant and read Bhagavatam. Absorb. Like him you do also. So in 3 days, Keshav Maharaj went, Maharaj, Havena, not possible. It's not easy. You know, pardon? Kausa? Arey, mera story kya bata? So, point is, it's not easy. It needs. You know, we are passionate people, so we have to be engaged in such acts, so that at least we dovetail those acts in Krishna's service, instead of doing completely, you know, materialistic acts. You know, we do those acts and we impose, you know, bhakti. What Jiva Goswami says, Aropa Siddha Bhakti. It may not be Sarupa Siddha, it's Aropa Siddha Bhakti. You impose bhakti on the acts of karma. So yes, you have to do some management, you have to do certain acts. In themselves they are not bhakti, because they are not like chanting Harinam or reading Bhagavatam. But since you impose or you doing Krishna's service, just like you taking bath is not a bhakti. But you take bath to come to temple, then it becomes a bhakti, because you are taking bath with the idea to go and take darshan of the deities. So, by association it becomes Sangha Siddha Bhakti. So, since you cannot be engaged 24 hours in simply chanting and hearing, it's not possible. Because the mind will not let you do it. So, you do all these different acts or activities, you know, which help, you know, dovetail those acts in Krishna's service, help expand the mission of Srila Prabhupada, help others to become Krishna conscious. So, even if you are not conscious of that, it creates some good sukruti, good, you know, services. So over a period of time it will cleanse our conscious heart, you know, help us see better and remove all the anarthas. And one day we'll be able to absorb in Krishna completely. But that goal should be very clearly defined in our mind. Did I address? Yes. There is no straight jacket formula, you know. It's not a mathematics. Or, you know, it's not an equation. It's you know, human mind is a very complicated mind. You know, when we were arguing case in the High Court, you know, our lawyer was saying that one famous jurist, his name was Kent, he has written a book on fraud. So he said that the human mind is so innovative and so complicated and so complex that the jurists have refused to define fraud. Because if they define a fraud, the human mind will find some way of doing it which doesn't fall in that definition.
This is human mind. So the jurists over the centuries have refused to define fraud. It can be inferred, it cannot be proved. No, these are all very nice. We are preparing our arguments on fraud. That's human mind. It's human nature. So one has to be sincere, introspective, and see within our consciousness. There is no straitjacket, you know, formula. It's not possible. Not possible to give. At least, maybe somebody may have, but as I am thinking and as I have seen, it's ultimately conscious being. So one has to work on it. I think we have gone way over the time. Thank you very much. All Goshe Srila Prabhupada. Mahan Sagala Padari Bhashi Kruva Asandhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pahonibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namono. I was wondering how nobody said that.